Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Today's episode of the HR Room podcast falls under the banner of how to do HR, and more specifically, how to approach the matter of unfair dismissals. Today's episode is the first in a two-part series where we'll be discussing preventative measures to help prevent such a claim within your organisation. I'm joined by two familiar voices to you all, Mary Cullen, founder and managing director of Insight HR, and Liam Barton, senior HR consultant in the business. Hi, guys.
Hi, Sarah.
Mary, I was reading up yesterday about unfair dismissals just in preparation for this recording, and I found out that the Unfair Dismissals Act provides that every dismissal of an employee will be presumed to have been unfair unless the employer can show substantial grounds justifying the dismissal. I found that really interesting, actually. And substantial, though, it seems to be ambiguous. Can you give us any idea of how substantial is substantial?
Yeah. It puts the onus back on the employer to demonstrate that the process that they followed in terms of their disciplinary process was reasonable and fair, and that the outcome was reasonable in the circumstances. So when you get to the WRC, the WRC are looking at two areas. They're looking at the procedures applied by the organization, and they're looking at the substantive issue. Was the sanction reasonable in the circumstances? So from an employer perspective, many dismissals can, I suppose, later be considered unfair because of procedure, even though there may have been a good reason for the employer to ultimately dismiss someone. Certainly when you come to issues around gross misconduct like fraud or theft or bullying, or, you know, something that brings the company into disrepute, you may skip all stages of the disciplinary process and have a single investigation and a single disciplinary hearing, which might result in the termination of someone's employment. But the WRC would be looking very closely at all the steps that you took in relation to dealing with a matter like that. And we would say typically that when it comes to a disciplinary process, if you have a problem with an employee, in real terms, you should be raising it with that employee and giving them an opportunity to improve informally. So you may have a series of informal chats followed by a performance improvement process, followed by a formal disciplinary process, which would involve, you know, a verbal warning, a first written warning, a final written warning, and potentially termination of employment. And that whole process can take 12 plus months to conclude. And so throughout that process, if you dismiss someone and the WRC are looking at it at a later stage, they will be examining the entire process in terms of your procedures, in terms of the reasonableness of your decisions, in terms of the reasonableness of your sanctions.
And like you touched on it there about disciplinary proceedings, Liam, is every employee who is dismissed eligible to make a claim for unfair dismissal if they choose? I mean, and I'm talking about redundancies as well.
Yeah, I mean, typically, in order to bring forward a claim for unfair dismissal, you must have 12 months service. So there's a bar in terms of you should have 12 months service in order to take an unfair dismissal claim. However, there's a number of, I suppose, caveats to that. Typically, if you have less than 12 months service, you can take a claim under industrial relations legislation, which is non-binding, but it still has an effect. So again, if you have less than 12 months service, you can take a claim, which would typically be around what Mary spoke about, the fairness of procedures. So if the employer has failed to implement fair procedures, albeit that someone has less than 12 months service, they can still take a claim. If the basis for the dismissal is automatically unfair, then the person doesn't need 12 months service. So for instance, if somebody was dismissed and the reason for their dismissal was under any of the 9 grounds quoted under employment equality legislation, for instance, if it was pregnancy related or gender related or family status related, the dismissal would be seen to be automatically unfair, and therefore the service requirement wouldn't apply. In general as well, Sarah, the person has a time limit in terms of the amount of time they have after their date of dismissal in order to take a claim to the Workplace Relations Commission, which is typically 6 months from the date of dismissal. Now, in certain circumstances where the employee can justify or give evidence that there was just cause preventing them from bringing the claim within 6 months, they will be given an additional 6 months or 12 months in total. But really at the minute, it's typically 6 months after the date of dismissal. So if an employee has been dismissed, they have a limited time frame in terms of to pursue a claim against their employer.
Mary, what kind of reasons would an employee have for making a claim of unfair dismissal?
Well, I guess the one that comes straight to mind is the fact that they feel it's unfair in the first place, or that they feel that they have been treated badly by the employer. Some of the things that people would bring an unfair dismissal claim for would be because they feel that the sanction of dismissal was unfair in the circumstances, and that a lesser sanction should have been applied, even though, for instance, they might be guilty of having done whatever it was the employer alleged they had done. So in my experience, the handling of people during a disciplinary process is so important. Sometimes I think employers, managers, HR forget, you know, this is a person with a family, with loans and responsibilities and mortgages, you know, and they forget about the human element of it, and don't treat people as well as they could do, irrespective of what they believe they have done. And so I really do believe that the treating people with respect and dignity is important. It angers people hugely if they feel that they have been treated badly at work, irrespective of what they've done. And, you know, you've got to be careful that you follow your procedures. If you don't follow your procedures exactly as you have set them out in your employee handbook or in your policies, then you will find yourself coming a cropper when it gets to a third party looking at what you've done.
So, Liam, when it comes to preventing a claim of unfair dismissal, what can employers actually do?
Well, I'm going to follow Mary's logic and go down the obvious route. And this is something that I say occasionally to employers. The easiest way of preventing a claim of unfair dismissal is ideally not to dismiss anyone. And obviously, if a dismissal doesn't take place, then the only basis on which an employee can pursue a claim for unfair dismissal is by means of constructive dismissal. So they can argue that they've been constructively dismissed. And to do that, they must prove that there was a breach of contract and that the employer behavior was so outrageous and unreasonable that they had no other option essentially but to resign their position. I think in overall terms, we have to look at it, I suppose, very, very objectively and with a wider view in terms of why was it necessary to dismiss this particular individual or this particular employee. And I suppose, again, you're coming back and looking at it and saying, well, was there something in our recruitment process that failed, that we ended up with an employee who wasn't a right fit culturally for the organization or wasn't qualified to perform the duties that they were asked to do? Was there something within our orientation, our induction procedure, which didn't support? What about the performance management system? Did the particular employee get enough, you know, technical skills training? Did they get enough support from their line manager? So I think there's a range of different things. And there's two different, I suppose, types of dismissal. There's dismissal for means of gross misconduct, where somebody has done something entirely inappropriate to render the employment relationship void, which could be bullying, sexual harassment, theft, fraud, and misappropriation of funds. And then there's, I suppose, progressive dismissal, where somebody has failed to perform over a long period of time and they've been disciplined and ultimately dismissed. So I think my advice in general, in order to avoid a claim for unfair dismissal and to avoid having to use a disciplinary process, look at the recruitment process you follow. Select candidates following a rigorous recruitment and reference checking process. You know, take time to induct the staff appropriately, support them. Whenever I'm doing training, Sarah, I always mention two words: probationary period, probationary period, probationary period. Use the probationary period to highlight any sort of performance and to set the cultural norms in terms of performance and attitudes and habits that you want from employees. And I think if you do a few of those things, it will make it less necessary, hopefully, to have to go down a disciplinary route and hopefully avoid a dismissal altogether.
That's great. Thanks, Liam. Now, Mary, a lot of the time, I suppose, when it comes to performance issues, for instance, HR might not really have any say over who is dismissed. So what exactly is the role of HR in all of this?
Yeah, so I mean, HR will guide and advise managers, line managers and senior managers on process and procedure. And they will be responsible for, I guess, the paperwork that is sent to the employee, whatever letters inviting them into disciplinary hearings, whatever notes and minutes are taken. They usually attend a disciplinary hearing for the purpose of taking those notes, for chairing the meeting, for ensuring that there are fair procedures, that the employee knows the case against them, that they get an opportunity to respond to any allegations that have been put to them, that they're appropriately represented, and the HR may liaise with third parties like trade unions or solicitors, or guide witnesses that attend those hearings around their role. And, you know, ultimately they will be there in an advice capacity for senior management. They will also coordinate any investigation that needs to be carried out, and coordinate any appeal that needs to be carried out as well. And really, I guess, maintain all records, ensure that they're stored in keeping with GDPR and privacy, and ensure the confidentiality of the processes. So HR play quite a significant role in, you know, managing and coordinating disciplinary processes internally. And sometimes it's an unenviable task. From HR manager's perspective, it's not easy, and many HR managers you know, when HR practitioners find it to be a difficult thing to do, and they do need support. It can be quite an isolated role, and sometimes, you know, the organization is looking to you for support and guidance and advice. At the same time, you're dealing with trade unions. At the same time, you might be dealing with the employment lawyer who's raised their head because of something the organization is doing. You've got to deal with the senior management team. You know, the HR role is not an easy role. And I would always have sympathy for HR practitioners trying to maneuver their way through processes that can be quite difficult and quasi-legal in a sense.
Great, Mary. Thanks for your input there. And thanks to you both for joining us today. So before we wrap up, I just want to review some of the key takeaways from today's episode, Sarah's key takeaways. The first takeaway that I got is that the onus is actually on the employer to demonstrate that the process is reasonable and fair, and that the outcome is reasonable and fair. And also that dismissal under any of the 9 discriminatory grounds is deemed to be unfair. And the employee does not need to satisfy the minimum service duration, which I think Liam mentioned was 12 months service. My second takeaway is that the easiest way of preventing a claim of unfair dismissals is to not dismiss anyone. However, in the event that there is a dismissal, then you really need to look at why that employee might need to be dismissed. Was there a failing in the recruitment process of the employee? And those recruitment processes should be reviewed. Are the right candidates being hired? Are they being onboarded properly? Is training being given? Are the employees that are coming on board being made aware of the various policies within the company? And is there ongoing support being given to these employees as well? Did they satisfy a probationary period? And as Liam kind of drove home there, the probationary period is very important because it's during this time that you can identify any warning signs, I suppose. My third takeaway is that when it comes to dismissals, even though it might be line managers actually identifying, okay, well, this employee has not been performing too well, HR does actually have a role to play in that they're there in an advice capacity. They can coordinate any resulting investigation that may need to be conducted, also coordinate the appeals process, and very importantly, keep a record of all the procedures as they are carried out. Does that sound correct, guys?
You're getting better and better, Sarah.
Well done, Sarah.
That's brilliant. Thanks a million for joining us today. And that's it from us. But make sure to stay tuned for the next episode in this 2-part series where we will be discussing how to deal with a claim of unfair dismissal.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.